Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray, you look very nice today. You're getting ready for New Year's Eve there. Ray Allen, our fine, young, handsome man who is producing and engineering this show today on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, December the 29th, so the countdown begins. Just a few more days, and we will turn the page here on another year. We're coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, live streaming at BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. Podcasts and our archive available 24/7 at BuckmasterShow.com. We're going to begin with a game day update as college football, the bowl scene, returns to Tucson tonight. Then 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman in a very good mood today. And why not? Shelley giving me two thumbs up as the market. He gives me two thumbs up when we go over officially at last report over 200 on the Dow. So he's got each thumb raised. Shelley has our Tuesday Moneymaker report, followed at 12:30, UA Professor Emeritus and author John McElroy discussing his new book. And then our live line number, of course, open for you, 790-2040, our Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can follow us on Twitter now at Buckmaster Show. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. With us is Bert Gilliland, Mountain West Conference Deputy Commissioner. Bert, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How are you today?
Doing very well. It is game day here in Tucson, the inaugural Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, scheduled to kick off tonight at 5:30, and that will be pitting Colorado State against the University of Nevada. How do you like this matchup, and is it a good deal for the Mountain West Conference, Bert?
Well, certainly the opportunity to be part of a bowl game returning to Tucson was something that was unique and that we were very much interested in order to provide our student athletes with an opportunity for postseason competition. The way the bowl scene played out this year, a little bit unusual that we have two of our own Mountain West teams playing in the game, but they did not play each other during the regular season. They're in different divisions. They won't play each other next year, so it is still very much like a bowl game matchup. Two pretty evenly matched teams, and I'm looking for a real exciting game tonight.
Colorado State brings a 7-5 record, and the Wolfpack from the University of Nevada 6-6. So you would say these teams are pretty evenly matched, certainly.
They certainly are, and they both bring some interesting strengths to the game. They'll match up well with each other, I think, along the line of scrimmage, and you know, you give these coaches a couple of weeks of extra practice, they'll, I'm sure, come up with some wrinkles, and we'll see some surprising plays as the game goes on.
Well, we'd like certainly to see a nice crowd out there tonight, and there are plenty of tickets available. Tucson usually is a kind of a later coming to the table when it comes to some of these events. People, well, they get up in the morning and they say, hey, let's go see a football game tonight. And it will be nice weather, a little chilly, but it's going to be nice at 5:30. And so I'm sure you're hoping for a good walk-up crowd tonight.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking out the window myself right now. Looks like it is going to be a nice evening for football. A little bit crisp, but great football weather. I think if folks come out, they'll not only see a great football game, but a lot of pageantry around the game planned, a neat flyover right before the game, a great halftime concert with Los Lobos. So it would be a great evening of entertainment if folks would come out. We'd love to have them.
And this is rather historic because putting two teams in a bowl game from the same conference, the last time that happened, I believe, was 1979 in the Orange Bowl.
Correct. That was the last time it happened. So it is kind of a unique opportunity, again, for fans and for the teams. And I know that both Colorado State and Nevada are looking forward to the matchup. They've had a tremendous visit over their couple, 3 days here in town. They've been treated extremely well, and I think, as usually is the case in these bowl game scenarios, everybody's now ready to tee it up and play the game.
Tell us a little bit about your particular conference, the Mountain West Conference.
Mountain West was formed in 1999, and some of the folks here in Tucson are undoubtedly familiar with some of our teams that were members of the old Western Athletic Conference, of which Arizona and Arizona State were members back in the day. So we're now in our 17th football season, 12 member institutions in football, two divisions, a Mountain Division and a West Division, and Nevada comes out of the West, and Colorado State comes out of the Mountain Division for tonight's game.
Tell me a little bit about what your take is on so many bowls, many people complaining there are too many. You think it's okay the way it is right now?
You know, we've probably, for a number of years, we've talked about in the industry whether there is a point at which you've passed that break-even threshold if there are too many games. If you look at the communities that benefit from games and continue to want to have them, the postseason opportunity for the student athletes to get some life experiences as well as some additional practices in their program. The TV ratings continue to be solid, so folks are interested in watching these games. So I don't think we've reached the point where there are too many, but we might be right at the threshold where we probably don't want to add too many more. As you might have noticed this year, there weren't enough teams that were bowl eligible at the traditional 6-6 record threshold. There were actually three teams that made the postseason with 5-7 records. Now, ironically, all three of those teams won their bowl games. So,
yeah.
They're certainly going to make the argument that, hey, we had good academics. That's why we got in. We won the game. So we were deserving. So, or that's obviously a debate that's ongoing and one that, will be revisited here, right after the first of the year when we have the NCAA convention and take a look at whether we need to maybe draw the line on additional bowls.
Yeah, and there's so much parity in college football anyway, and you say, you know, you look at those 3, 5, and 7 teams, Nebraska, San Jose State, and the University of Minnesota, I believe, was the third team, and all winning. So there's so much parity, and that's what's going to make tonight's game a very good game. And this is going to be also the first time, I understand, Bert Gilliland, that there has been, this is going to be a digital first. CampusInsiders.com is streaming the game online.
Yes, yeah, we did. We've got a very great partner in the folks at Campus Insiders. They are partners of the Mountain West on a regular basis, and were gracious enough to partner with us in helping launch the bowl game down here. And we do have a very unique telecast approach. Campus Insiders will have the digital telecast, so you can watch that on whatever device you would like to, your laptop, your iPad, your iPhone, wherever you are. You'll have that digital experience, and there will be some enhancements there that will dovetail with also a linear telecast that will be carried by the American Sports Network on a network of stations across the country in your normal linear space. So we really have got both sides of the equation covered, and at the end of the day, for the viewing fan, you can watch this game wherever you want to, wherever you are, without any cost at all.
Okay, so game time tonight, 5:30, but there's going to be quite a bit of pregame activity, correct? There's a flyover, and we've got, I think, probably get out there by 5 o'clock would be a good idea.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All the pregame pageantry, the bands, and everything that's great about college football, be a great experience for folks to call on out.
And Los Lobos, that's part of the ticket, the halftime show.
Correct. Yeah, you buy a ticket and you get the halftime show with those guys right along with it. So it'll be a great evening of entertainment.
Bert Gilliland, thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate it. Take care now.
Okay, Bert Gilliland, he is with the Mountain West Conference. He is the deputy commissioner, spending some time talking with us about the first Arizona Bowl. Let's support this, folks. I mean, it's good for our economy. And let's get a decent crowd out there at Arizona Stadium tonight. Coming up now on 12:14, this portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to us by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. A very big thank you to them. Thank you very much to all of our friends over there in Grant County. They've been a great supporter of the Buckmaster Show. It's just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City, and it really makes a nice getaway. So much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. There's no shortage of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. So you can check out the information about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Shelley Fishman is next as we push toward 12:15 on this Tuesday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Back right after this.
Are termites chewing on more than your Yule log this holiday season? Five-star Termite and Pest Control's patented foaming process will rid your home of termites before your first snowball fight on Mount Lemmon. So call Five-Star today and replace those termite tubes hanging from your ceiling with mistletoe and find someone to smooch under it. Call Five-Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
Five-Star Pest Control, and we know what bones you.
Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Youth on Their Own and Teen Outreach Pregnancy Services and make your gift today.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
We like to consult with Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, and whenever the market goes over 200 points on the upside, Shelley gives me two thumbs up, and we're having a pretty good day. Hi, Shel.
Hey, Bill. How are you? Happy New Year.
Very good. Happy New Year to you, and we need a little good news here on the market.
Well, we've got some today.
As we push to try to at least hit parity for the year.
Well, we're up above the indices for the NASDAQ and the S&P. Mm-hmm. We're about 100 points shy of the opening, the closing price December 31st for the Dow. That's the number I use. By the end of actually the opening on January 2nd, the Dow had dropped significantly, so I think we're about parity if you take that number.
What is driving the economy right now, Shelley?
Well, a couple of things are driving the economy right now, the U.S. economy. The jobs market is in very, very good shape, even though, you know, you could complain, and justifiably so, about the fact that wages haven't come back and that a lot of people in the job market are working under what they consider to be their level of employment that was, say, their prior job. But that's not a function of this economy. That's a function of what's going on in the world and what's going on with technology. We know there are tremendous numbers of jobs available right now. Many of them are not being filled because of lack of skill or lack of will. You get some of that. I heard, I think it was last week, that there are 100,000 jobs available in the trucking industry, and they'll train you.
Really? 100,000
jobs nationally, yeah.
And I imagine that those jobs pay pretty well.
They pay pretty well.
Yeah.
There's some downsides with those jobs. You got to travel and you got to be away from your family a lot. Right here in Tucson, I believe there are a lot of jobs available in the police and fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you've got to qualify. You've got to go to school for them. You've got to train and essentially be an apprentice for a while.
Yeah.
But those are very well-paying jobs.
Well, we had the head of the Pima Community College program where they train future police officers. It's a wonderful program in that you can continue with your day job.
Absolutely.
And you can become a police officer or a firefighter or a paramedic.
Qualified,
yeah. And it's equivalent to going to the police academy.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you never want to blame the victim. Okay, but there are people out there who believe somehow that they're going to get back their jobs that they had before the Great Recession. And you know what? Those jobs aren't there anymore. And so you've got to retrain. You've got to really think through what you want to be when you grow up. And that sounds heartless and unfeeling. But to get back to where you were, is not automatic anymore. This is a very different economy. So we have the automotive industry is fueling this economy. We've now had, I think, the best year in automotive in our history, and not fueled by cheap cars. We're talking trucks and SUVs. We have Very low oil prices. That's not an accident. It is, I believe, very deliberate on the part of our government to drive down oil prices. And that has given everybody a pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
So this economy is being fueled from you know, various sources. Some of the uncertainty in the economy has kind of firmed up a little bit. You know, earlier in the year we were talking about Greece and we were talking about the crisis in the euro. We're not talking about that anymore very much. There are other known unknowns, you know, out there and unknown knowns and all of that. But what we see driving the economy into 2016 is you know, steady, secure growth in an atmosphere where this administration's policies, economic policies, though, again, you could complain that they aren't creating growth fast enough, have, however, created solid, constant growth. And certainly compared to what the rest of the world is doing, we're the envy of them.
Shelley Fishman with a Certified Financial Planner. We had a question come in on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. Our friend John has a question about Puerto Rico. He's concerned about the financial situation in Puerto Rico. Does it constitute a systematic risk to the municipal bond market?
Well, by definition, it is a systematic risk, especially if they were to default. And, you know, I'm speaking from memory, Bill, but I think the number is about $70 billion with a B dollars in bonds. Puerto Rico has overspent and undertaxed, and part of it is because they don't have the ability to control their own fate in many ways. They should have gotten some relief, in other words, the ability to renegotiate those bonds. In the omnibus bill that was passed a couple of weeks ago, they didn't get that. But the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, has said that they would take that up at the beginning of January. So hopefully what will happen is that Puerto Rico will get the ability through bankruptcy or something resembling a bankruptcy to renegotiate the terms and conditions of those bonds, the amount of default or haircut that the bondholders will take will be minimized. $70 billion sounds like a great deal of money. It is, but in the greater municipal bond market, it's probably not that much of a problem. We've known about the problems Puerto Rico was having for a long time now. My guess is it's priced in.
All right. In the remaining couple of minutes, Shelley, let's look to 2016. This is our last money market report of the year of 2015. The next time we see you, it will be early in 2016. Your prediction for 2016?
Well, my prediction is going to be steady growth in the economy in the 2.5 to 3% rate of growth. I think we're going to see unemployment down in the 4.7, 4.8 range. We might even actually end the year below 5% once the numbers come in. And for December, we're still waiting for the November numbers. And I'm looking at the markets being kind of modestly successful, probably in the 4 to 6% range in the Dow, maybe a little bit higher than that in the S&P. It is going to be a very strange year in terms of what gets articulated in the press and the fact that we're going to be distracted by what is turning out to be a very interesting, and I use that in the sense, the Chinese sense of it being a curse, very interesting times.
Yeah, in other words, the election is going to be the dominant story.
It's going to be the dominant story, and that, number one, tends to oversimplify the articulation of what could potentially go on in the economy, so that candidates try to get their message as crisp as possible. And as a result, nuance is taken out of, you know, the articulation of solutions. We could see, you know, again, depending upon who wins the nominations in both of the parties, I think it'll clearly be Hillary Clinton for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. But let's say it weren't. Let's say it were Bernie Sanders for the Democrats. You know, that would place some real uncertainty around what happens to the regulation banking and the so-called Wall Street, the big banks. What would happen? Would we break them up? That uncertainty would be very unsettling in the markets, I think. We don't think that a Clinton presidency would do the same thing. We know certainly that a Republican president would seek to ease regulation in the short term on the financial community. That's not necessarily a good thing. We know what happens when you take regulations off of people who are taking undue risks with stuff that should be minimally risky.
So for your portfolio, this is the time of year to take a look at it. Look at the mix you've got right now.
Oh, absolutely. And we've talked about rebalancing to make sure that what's happened in the markets have not pushed your portfolio out of balance. As it turns out, this has been a relatively flat year. So where you started is about where you stopped.
Right.
So that need to rebalance is not as acute as it might be. However, if you were in certain sectors that had very high growth, like biotech, for instance, you might be out allocated, too highly allocated in that sector. You might want to cut back. You might want to take some losses somewhere.
Or if you're heavily invested in energy.
If you're heavily invested in energy, then you have losses to harvest.
You got a problem.
And you can take some profits elsewhere,
right,
and make sure that you're not going to have capital gains implications.
Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. Thank you for your service in 2015. We'll look for you in 2016. That will be next Tuesday.
You bet, Bill. I look forward to seeing you then.
In the meantime, ShelleyFishman.com is where you can get a hold of him at TheBuckmasterShow.com.
Exactly.
Got a link there. Shell, have a happy new year.
You too, Bill.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. University of Arizona Professor Emeritus John McElroy joining us now to talk about his new book. The book is called America's Culture, Its Origins and Enemies. Dr. McElroy has taught at Clemson University, University of Wisconsin at Madison. He's been a Fulbright professor of American studies at universities in Spain, Salamanca, and in Brazil. He has given lectures at universities in Colombia and Poland. He's presented papers at annual meetings of the American Studies Associations of France and Argentina. He is the author of several previous books, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing him when I was had another life over on Channel 6 at Arizona Illustrated. We talked, I think, on each of your previous books, which I will give our listeners a little background on, Finding Freedom, a study of the factors that produced America's exceptional culture, American Beliefs, an analysis of the culture's content, and Divided We Stand on Anti-Americanism in America. He has also edited Walt Whitman's account of his experience of the Civil War and the first history of Columbus based on primary Spanish documents. John McElroy did his undergraduate studies at Princeton before taking his doctorate at Duke, had 2 years of sea duty in the U.S. Navy in the North Atlantic Fleet. 6 years ago, he created the radio series America's Fabric on American history and culture, which is broadcast each Sunday morning right here on this radio station, KVOI. That program is on at 8 o'clock. He married a Cuban woman back in 1957, Oneria Diaz, and married in Havana. He actually, the year before, met Ernest Hemingway at Hemingway's place in Havana. Perhaps we'll get around to talking about that meeting during our half hour together. And he has a ton of grandchildren. Let's see, 14 great-grandchildren, grandchildren, and children. Yeah. So it's great to see you again, Professor. How are you?
Oh, it's nice to be with you, Bill. It brings back fond memories when we were both at the university.
We did some stuff on TV at Channel 6, and now we're here on radio. And America's Culture, the genesis of this book was...
Well, I just felt that there was a need for the subtitle of the book below the It's America's Culture, Its Origins and Enemies is a synopsis. And this book is mercifully short. It's about 150 pages of actual text with an additional 25 or so pages.
Pretty easy read.
It's six chapters. And the reason that I undertook to write it at almost 82 years old is that I thought that something like this was really needed, something readable and short that would restore the idea of American exceptionalism, that would explain why and how America truly is an exceptional culture, and then to write an explanation of how political correctness is deliberately and consciously trying to undermine and subvert that culture.
And political correctness, as you point out, it takes not just one generation for it to become ingrained. I believe you say in the book it actually takes four generations.
Yeah, minimum.
Where are we in that process?
Well, I date the beginning of political correctness to the 60s when I was a young, untenured professor at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And I see it, and I'm very convinced of that fact, that it really was a domestic front in the Cold War that was going on between the Soviet Union and the United States, which can itself be dated to, I think, 1949 with the formation of the NATO alliance to resist Soviet aggression in Central Europe. And that's an interesting thing. I don't go into it in this book, but Soviet propaganda was enormous, and we still speak of these countries that are definitely in Central Europe as Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. when they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at where the border between East and West Germany was, it's approximately 1,150 miles from the Kremlin, but only 420 miles from London.
Mm-hmm.
That's how deep into the center of Europe the Soviet Union established colonies. And I think that starting with the Italian Marxist theorist Gramsci, the international communist movement recognized that unless the Christian capitalistic culture of the United States was itself transformed, they would get nowhere in their effort to have communism worldwide.
That's how
I see political correctness as part of that effort.
But in the broader picture, political correctness, is it an American, is it something that is a hybrid in America, or is it something that really began a long time ago in other places?
Oh, I think that there's no doubt that we're not unique in this kind of effort to destabilize and, as the phrase goes,
French Revolution?
Deconstruct. The French Revolution was, yes, the French Revolution was the first symptom of this. I mean, Marx drew a lot of his inspiration from that. In fact, it was, you know, between the end of the French Revolution, from the time of the end of the French Revolution down to the earliest communist takeovers, the first of which was in Russia, that was a period, you know, of struggle, socialism trying to establish itself. But when Lenin established first the party and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which had 15 republics, there wasn't any center for this movement, which began with the, and I would characterize the, and I do just allude to this in this new book, I would characterize the French Revolution as based on the philosophy of materialistic determinism, that is to say, the dogma that there is no God, man is just another animal, that the environment determines everything. The Russian scientist Pavlov, he emphasized the conditioning of animals to behave in a certain way. And that was all a matter of environment. The Communist Party of the Soviet Union, that is, they made their mind up on this nurture and nature question from the very beginning. They saw, and that makes a lot of sense because they were revolting against the whole idea of birth classes, you know, the czars and the
monarchy,
dukes and the monarchy, all that, that whole culture of Europe, centuries old, was based on the idea that certain people were of noble and royal blood, and they should form the governments. And
so you could see how that message could be very appealing.
Oh yes, absolutely. That's the thing that makes America so unique is that we never had that history. I mean, the nobility of England and never followed the colonists across the Atlantic. One of the chief things that I think I have achieved in my four books on American cultural history is the use of this comparative method, where I look at the other three major areas of European colonization in the Western Hemisphere, that is to say Spanish America, Portuguese-ruled Brazil, and Canada, which was for 150 years ruled by France and then was conquered by England. And when you look comparatively at our history in comparison to these other major areas, it becomes almost instantly clear that those areas all had a titled nobility. And so that the old European culture was brought across the Atlantic in those other areas, but not in what became the United States.
John McElroy is with us. His new book, we're discussing it here on the Buckmaster Show, America's Culture, Its Origins and Enemies. We will continue with the discussion with Professor McElroy, and we'll address a question. Would you like to know why America is not doomed to decline? That is something that I want to hear the professor expound on as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation, back right after this.
Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Arizona Children's Association and Catholic Community Services. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. What if our future is space? Experience Mars and Beyond at Biosphere 2 every Saturday at our weekly What If special event during December. Growing food on Mars and seeing beyond the solar system are just a few of the adventures you can experience. Come visit the must-see wonder of the world today. Info at biosphere2.org. Piro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are visiting with Professor John McElroy, who is a University of Arizona professor emeritus, and we're talking about his latest book. The new book is America's Culture, Its Origins and Enemies. And Professor, before the break, I said that one of the questions I would like to address with you that is brought up in the book, would you like to know why America is not doomed to decline? And I would like to know the answer to that, sir.
Well,
telescoped answer.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll try to make it brief.
Okay.
In a word, Poland. Mm-hmm. I happened to be appointed by the U.S. State Department to go over there and teach the summer that the Solidarity Movement in Poland got started. And there was so much turmoil that they postponed that whole program for that summer later. And this English seminar that I taught in, as it was called, was the communist government's substitute for allowing their most advanced students in this language, which they had to have. They had to have translators and interpreters in English. But they didn't trust their youngest people, their most talented students of that language, to go to either the United Kingdom or the United States to put the finishing touch on their fluency. So they did what in 1956, they instituted this thing they call the English Seminar, and they'd bring professors like myself. There were 5 or 6 of us the year I was there, the summer I was there, and the same number from Britain. And we would have our meals with the students. We socialized with them in the evenings. It was an immersion as much as you could get in the English language for these students. So my students, I had about 80 of them in 6 classes that summer, and they were so eager for me to understand what was going on in Poland. And I must confess, I knew very little about it before I went over there. And what that movement was, Bill, in Poland, which was a direct consequence of the election of Polish Pope, John Paul II. What that movement was, it was really a freedom movement. It was a labor union. Indisputably, it was about labor, you know, organized labor. But there'd never been, in the whole history of organized labor, when I was a graduate student, I did one paper on Eugene V. Debs and the American Railway Union. That was an industrial union. In other words, the charwomen that cleaned the railway passenger cars, the engineers that ran the locomotives, and everybody connected, the people that laid track, all belonged to one union, tremendously powerful in the 1890s because of the crucial importance to transportation of that industry. But Polish solidarity was a different thing altogether. All you had to be was a Polish nationality, have a job that paid a wage or salary, be able to pay the equivalent of about $10, that was paid mm-hmm. in zlotys, of course, but $10 in annual labor, and be brave enough to do something you knew the Communist Party would not like. What I saw in Poland in the summer of 1981, and I came back to Tucson, and they published an editorial piece for me here in the Star on my experiences, and I predicted at the end of that experience in Poland that this was the beginning of the downfall of the Soviet Empire. And it was. And the reason for it was that despite the tyrannical, complete, absolute control over mm-hmm. every aspect of life, they could not put down the belief in God in the Polish people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the nub of it. John Paul II went back to Poland. The party tried to block and prevent his visit, but my students told me that they weren't able to do the popular sentiment for him to come there. And he preached a series of 12 very powerful, very basic Christian sermons to these massive outdoor congregations of Poles, and that was the beginning of the solidarity.
Do you think that belief in God really was one of the things that brought down the Soviet Union?
Oh, absolutely.
Talked about much.
I know. The first thing
it's like under the radar screen.
Well, the left, and I don't care whether you're talking about the American left or the Soviet mm-hmm. Regime, they do not believe in God. I mean, there's mm-hmm. the idea of freedom as something that comes as a gift of God is in every syllable, practically, of our Declaration of Independence.
I want to quickly talk about something I mentioned in the introduction. In 1956 in Havana, before the revolution, you met Ernest Hemingway at his
Finca,
I think, yeah, which they made, I guess, into a shrine now there
they
in
have,
Havana.
Yes.
So what was your impression of Papa Hemingway? I guess he had woken up from a nap, right? Papa
well,
Bear was...
he was temporarily in hibernation.
There he was.
Well, my then girlfriend, she would later become my fiance, and in January of 1957, my wife, and still is my wife, and I am her husband, is the reason my Oni was the reason that we went out to the Finca, because her father was from a town in eastern Cuba called Victoria de las Tunas, where a very famous Cuban boxer came from, and he fought under the name of Kid Tunero, and he and Hemingway were buddies in Paris before either of them became internationally famous. And Kid Tunero knew my future father-in-law, and my future wife saw this book by Carlos Baker, who was my chief professor at Princeton, that he had given me as a graduation present, and I had taken down to Havana with me to read, and it was inscribed, you know, to me. And she said, oh, we should take, my father could arrange for us to go and have Hemingway sign this.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So that's what we did. And when we got there, so we went with Kid Tunero and his French wife, in their car out to the Finca, which is in a lovely, lovely place east of the bay of Havana, near a little port called Cohimar, where Hemingway kept his yacht, the Pilar. And we got there, and he was taking this nap, And we talked, the four of us, in very hushed tones. The room was very spacious and beautiful, and not huge, but but ample and sunny, and the grounds were gorgeous with tropical plants and things. And there were the heads of all these trophies that he had killed, you know, on his safaris.
So he shows up.
And then he shows up. And he showed up in his skivvies.
He was in his underwear.
He was in his underwear. And,
oh, my goodness.
And I, yes, and he stood there talking to us for 5 or 6 minutes, sort of, as I recall, in that condition. And I think he was showing off his powerful physique. That was one of the chief things that I remember, with these enormous calves of, you know, how big the calves of.
But you didn't have time to talk literature with him.
No, well, I was too intimidated, really. But he inscribed the book. We took care of that business early in the stay, and he inscribed it from a fellow student of Professor Baker, because Carlos Baker did not only the first really thorough biography of Hemingway, but he did the first real serious academic study of Hemingway's fiction.
Dr. John McElroy, his new book is America's Culture, Its Origin and Enemies. Where can we obtain the book?
Go to my website, and it's a very simple website. It's my full name, John Harmon, H-A-R-M-O-N, McElroy, McElroy.com. And all the information for ordering it will be there. And I might tell your listeners that if they put a BB on the check that they send, indicating they're your listeners, they'll get it for a big discount.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
$10.
There you go.
$10.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
This afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, the Daily Double, 8 to 9, and then 9 to 10, Sean McCluskey, me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you midweek Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show with Ray Allen. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.